Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of The Daily Zeitgeist. Yeah! It's a production of iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's crazy that we've done this show thousands of times. Past couple days, I've taken my eyes off of the text and forgotten a whole chunk of the first sentence.
About saying the season and the episode.
Yeah, the season and the episode. I was just like, this episode. Anyways, it's Thursday. May 4th, 2023.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with means you. May the 4th be with you. Yeah. And also with you. Yeah. And with your
mercy,
spirit.
His mercy endureth forever. Thanks be to George Lucas. Also, National Self-Employed Day, World Password Day, Bird Day.
Bird Day.
Also, National Candied Orange Peel Day. Who the fuck is that? Okay, whatever. I'm going to have to get
National Candied Orange. Big National Candied Orange Peel having their way with us again.
Who did that? Like, is that like just Big Orange's way to be like, how can we take the refuse from our industry and then give it a second life?
Yeah. Feels like that, or like somebody who's really into candied orange peels and has a personality disorder and was just like, nobody gives me my propers when it comes to how good these damn things are.
I don't know. For whatever, any kind of citrus peel type candy, I'm like, this is absolutely not for me. But anyway, if it's for you, then, hey, get down today. It's your day.
Tricking me into thinking my garnish is edible for years. You ever had, like, one of those ones that's, like, candied, like, flash? You know, it's just, like, super hard, like, slices of lemon or lime or orange.
Oh.
Then you try and chew it, and it's might as well be chewing like a piece of wax fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do it all the time. It's one of my favorite pastimes.
You guys ever seen this? You heard about this? My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Hey, Chucky, you're the king. You're the king. It's your new thing. Hey, Chucky.
Hey,
Chucky. Oh, Chucky, you're so lucky. You're the king to be. You take me by the heart, pledging to you on TV. Oh, Chucky, you're so lucky, sovereign of the land. Getting coronated using tickets on demand. That is courtesy of Rezik on the Discord.
Damn.
He had a part after that that I think, I just don't know the song well enough, and I didn't do the work to know what I was supposed to do after that. But
okay.
Thank you to Rezik. Great work in honor of our royal coronation coming up in mere days.
Yeah.
Ooh. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, don't worry about me. It's Miles Gray, the Lord of Lankershim, the true king of the North Hollywood. Okay? great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Jack, thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
You're welcome. I've been waiting for you to thank me for having
I know.
On a lot of, our show.
I know. People have been handing me notes. They're like, Jack would really like a thank you.
He would really appreciate it if you just...
This time, maybe this time, I'm like, okay, I'll throw him a bone.
Show a little fucking gratitude.
Yeah, man. And I will do the homage of the people later for you, Jack, where I will swear.
Amazing.
I will swear fealty to you.
Well,
in the podcast domain.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by someone who must be excited about the, what is it? The fealty of the people?
Homage of the people.
It's a film programmer, a curator, a podcast host, and an author of the upcoming book, Unlikable Female Characters, The Women Pop Culture Wants You to Hate.
Yeah.
It's Anna Bogutska!
Anna! Welcome.
I'm terrified, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. And you are in London.
I am indeed.
How are you preparing for His Royal Highness's royal coronation?
Well, I am preparing to avoid central London during that entire day.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm
prepared to be in hiding for that day, trying to make sure to avoid the monarchists on my way around town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it can be a little overwhelming. I get it. To just see God's one true big boy on earth. Yeah. One true representative here on earth.
Yeah.
I get it. You'd want to kind of hide, let it be a slow kind of wash over you. But
I know. You know what? I somehow always end up in countries where there's royal families still pottering around. And I don't know how I've managed to do that in my lifetime.
Wait, I grew up in Spain.
Okay. I grew up in Spain where there's a royal family, right?
Okay.
They don't really do much, but they're there. They provide some gossip. And then I moved to London.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's a big monarchy in the UK. So now I'm just kind of mildly entertained by them.
Yeah.
But it's the pageantry, man. I was amused by it at first, and now I'm like, you know what? Appointments are being canceled. Stuff's not happening.
Yeah,
we get a bank holiday, but I'm like, I'm a freelancer. I'm still going to have to work on Monday.
I'm not
going in to salute the new king because someone has to work.
Well, that's interesting you brought up España, because Jack and I both have been there. You know, we're very cultured people.
Yeah.
Whereabouts did you grow up?
Oh, so I grew up in Barcelona, and I lived in Madrid before moving there. Where did you guys
Madrid.
Go?
Madrid. I lived in Madrid for
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, whereabouts?
No clue.
In the city?
In the city. I was 16 years old and don't remember much of it other than that the 1996 NBA playoffs were on at that time. And so I was watching that with the Spanish commentary, and that was a blast. I do remember it was a beautiful city, had an amazing time, but I don't remember anything about the geography whatsoever.
That means it's a good time. Still the best city in the world, man. If you go again, just incredible.
In the summer, I was in Barcelona for a little bit. Fantastic.
Barcelona?
Yeah. Love Catalonia. I love the energy of the Catalonian people out there. And it just feels like LA to me. Because it's like a beach town.
Really?
And I'm more in the sense of like the energy, like California type. Mm-hmm. Like people are a little more laid back. But then when I went to Madrid, felt a little more like you're in the city now. I was staying in Malasaña when I was in Madrid. Yeah,
I love Malasaña.
Yeah,
that's so
beautiful.
Weird. I always felt the opposite. I've never been to LA though. I might go there this fall. But I've always felt, I don't know. Barcelona was a bit more uptight, whereas Madrid was much more chill.
Well, I guess,
but
that's,
maybe that's also because I went to uni there.
Ah, that might be my perspective, just as a tourist who's on holiday and just drinking a ton. I'm like, oh, this place is so laid back.
You know what I mean? Oh, so dude, next time you're in Madrid, or if you ever in Madrid or Barcelona, let me know. I've got all the best places mapped down.
Okay, perfect.
You will not be sober for the entire time you're there.
Oh, perfect.
Hey,
I love that.
Also ahead of its time, and that I started seeing like Nazis for the first time there, like 5 years before they started appearing in the United States. There were like swastikas everywhere, at least around the places that I was.
Where were you hanging out? Who were you hanging out with?
I was not expecting
in Madrid. There was just like a public park where all the kids were smoking hash and hanging out like on a Friday night. And there was like a gang of skinheads there. And I was like, man, that's real. And then sure enough, a sign of things to come for the rest of the world.
Right here in our own backyard.
Hey, who knew?
They've been here, though, to be fair.
Yes, they have. All right, Anna, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things that we're talking about today. We're going to talk about, we found out a little bit more, maybe, on why Tucker got fired, according to Fox. Yeah. They dropped a new piece of evidence into the picture. I'd say it's an interesting piece of evidence. Doesn't change what I think about Tucker Carlson, but it does confirm some suspicions, I think, for okay. me.
Interesting.
We'll talk about McDonald's child labor violations being that
it
that being like
wild.
A real thing that, yeah. that is happening with McDonald's.
10-year-olds working at McDonald's in America.
Working the fryer at 2 a.m. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about baby names. Miles, you just went through it. It reminded me of the process of going through the naming of a baby. Mm-hmm. And you apparently the game has changed in the 5 years since
wild.
I've been out. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. We might even talk about why Utah people are having trouble jacking off today. All of that, plenty more. But first, Anna. And by the way, did I pronounce your name right? Is it Bogutska?
It's Bogutskaya.
It's Bogutskaya. Okay.
Yeah.
You learned. You came in confident. You're like, I learned something new about pronunciations.
So,
I was like,
I listened
I don't know
to your
that's...
last episode of Final Girls and
yeah.
I, for fucking some reason, I heard it, like, I listened back to it 5 times, and maybe it was, like,
hey,
a weird,
not fucking
like,
with
glitch.
You, Jack.
Bogutskaya. Okay, yeah,
Don't worry about it. It's been pronounced in so many different ways. It's fun.
So, Bogutskaya. Yeah. I was gonna be like, everybody, just so you know, it's spelled differently than it's pronounced. It's spelled Bogutskaya. So go Google, find the book. Anyways, leave it all in. I'm
it's a silent
idiot.
Y.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can't trust the podcast app. Anna, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I mean, I considered this for so long. You have no idea how deep I went into my own search history for this show.
Yeah. Okay.
But honestly, the last like 10 to 15 searches have been different iterations of Slutty Little Knees. So there you have it.
There he is. Pedro.
I was, yeah. But
our
mostly
king.
Actually, yeah. It wasn't actually even the pictures. It was trying to find who had coined the term Slutty Little Knees.
Yeah.
Going deep into Twitter, being like, what depraved and brilliant mind coined the term Slutty Little Knees, and how
depraved
did they hit?
Poetic soul. Yes.
I know. It's my people. I loved it. And I did
we
find
came
it.
Into. Oh, you did? You found out you did it? Because we were talking about this with the, there was somebody who had a full body orgasm during a
LA Philharmonic
performance. And we were like, man, like whoever tweeted, okay, I just heard someone have a full body orgasm. That was the headline for everyone. It was just like the anonymous authorship of the internet. Like one person came up with that and every fucking major media outlet went with that wording. But Slutty Little Knees is perfection.
Where did
it
come
from? It is perfection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's the author?
So this is I went through like the Esquire videos, the TikTok rabbit hole, but I think it was this person on Twitter at Joel's Guitar.
Yeah.
That's the perfect. And their description is full-time slut for Joel Miller, which I also think is a great profession.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the origin point. It's one thing about Pedro Pascal is that he will pop his slutty little knee out.
Yes.
Wow.
So this is in reference to Pedro Pascal's Metropolitan Gallivant outfit, wherein he's wearing shorts with a long red coat. Slutty little knees, hiked up socks, looking good. Wait, who said, can you repeat the quote?
Joel's Guitar.
Joel's
Guitar.
But it's referencing his character in Last of Us.
Oh, the name Last was his character in Last of Us.
Yeah, but it's about The Last of Us and The Mandalorian. He has this go-to pose where he pops his knee out and looks pensively into the distance.
Yeah. Yes. Love that. Love that. Love that knee. love to see more, you know, more like knee positive content out there on the internet.
Yeah.
Also, I just love when the internet collectively decides to thirst over someone and over something very specific. It's like, oh, we're really hot for like someone's earlobe. And then we're going to create obsessive content just about that.
Right.
That's where that's in the internet for good. And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked someone commented on someone's meaty earlobes in a recent episode of Succession. And
oh, yeah. Like barnacle meat.
Yeah. Like barnacle meat. Yeah. That was a brilliant little piece of poetry.
Like barnacle. Oh, was that? Who was that? Was that Tom talking to
Tom,
Shiv?
Yeah.
That's Tom to Shiv.
Yeah.
Tom is on a tear. Tom is on a Jimmy Butler like tear right now in this season. What is something, Anna, you think is overrated?
Memoirs. Honestly, not to get too deep, but like everyone needs to, the entire publishing industry needs to stop giving book deals to random people who have a big Instagram following or have been in like a reality TV show. It's like not everybody has a life story that needs a book. Not everybody wants to write a memoir. Can we stop wasting paper and wasting money and wasting space for these memoirs to exist? I hate them. I hate, especially when like you've had a very nice life. You don't need to write about it. You didn't learn anything. Nothing's happened to you. Why do you need to share? Even if you don't want to, if someone just throws a bunch of money at you and be like, oh, just
do
put
anything.
Your entire uninteresting life in book form, just say no. It's fine. You don't need to.
Right. But how else will people know that I was struggling before I was on Love Island? You know, I want people to know the depths that I went until I rise to the top.
You know what? Why not do like a really good Twitter thread?
Right.
Like
right.
a really profound Instagram story. It's not a book. It's not a book.
Get a Substack.
Exactly. You know,
do that. We don't need to fucking print. We don't need to have the printed word like that to talk about the just mundane aspects of your life. I agree. Like, there are times when you see books on a shelf, and you're like, why the fuck would anyone care about this person's memoir? But clearly, like, to your point, when there are like, because I'm sure it's like how publishing would work the same way how like executives work in Hollywood. Like, that person has a following that'll translate to sales. Spoiler alert, it usually doesn't. And then they're like, how the fuck did we fuck that up? Not can't be because I'm completely unimaginative in the way I'm developing things or what projects I greenlight. Can't be that.
Yeah. And it's also taking up the work of a talented writer. You like, I mean, the memoirs are not written by the memoirist, the character
very
on the cover
rarely.
Frequently. You know, it's the person who got famous for Love Island is not necessarily an inherently talented writer. And so therefore they have to hire a talented writer and be like, yeah, more on your sci-fi dystopia later. Right now we need you to write a biography of this 22
Look, I don't know who Octavia Butler is, and that sounds cool, but I think this person, you should write about their life. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about right now. Yeah,
I need less influence from Octavia Butler and more influence from, I was trying to come up with a vapid celebrity named Octavia, I don't know. Fuck it.
All Octavias are good.
Pretty good, yeah.
All the Octavias and the public eye are good.
Yeah. Is there a bad Octavia? I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't think so either. Anyways, what is something you think is underrated?
Okay, this might be niche, but do you guys ever get British television over there?
Here in Yankee
in the
Town? we get certain things for sure.
So I watch a lot of films for work, right? To give you some context, like big chunk of my job is just to like watch films before they come out, like for festivals or for reviewing or whatever. So I'm like constantly watching things during the day for work. Dream job. But that just means that by the end of the day, I'm like, I can't watch anything else. Like my eyeballs are going to melt out of my head. And when I get to watch something for fun, like for no reason whatsoever, it's not new. I don't have to do anything about it. I can just like put it on while I'm just chilling or cooking or something and just enjoy it for the sake of it. Mm-hmm. I get fully obsessed with it. And the last thing, and I'm very late to this, is a British crime show called Happy Valley.
Oh,
I genuinely need this to be Succession levels well known.
That was the one where like the murderer of the cop's daughter gets out of prison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you've
heard of it. Yeah. That shit was on Netflix. I think it was they distributed it on Netflix here in the U.S.
It's a BBC show. It finished this year. They like came back to it after a decade. And they finish it. And it's this like cranky, self-righteous older woman police officer in the north of England. And it's fucking phenomenal. Just the writing, the performance. It's so violent. It's like so grimy. And I love horror cinema. I'm not like scared of violence on screen.
Right.
But oh my God, it is filthy. And I loved it. And I've like gone down this massive rabbit hole of who is everyone in the show? Why have I never heard of this? Why have I never seen this? I want 10 shows with this woman. I'm obsessed with her. I just want everyone to hear watch wild. Happy Valley.
I've only watched the first series. And I know there's like three now. Amazing. So now I'm like, because I really loved, was it Sarah Lancashire who's in the lead of that. I was like, it's because my mom is like a huge like BBC mystery, like prime suspect addict since I was a kid. So like that was always ambiently on in my house. So she'll be like, you have to see Happy Valley. So I heeded her advice when it first came out. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the other two.
It's amazing. It's like 18 perfect episodes.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is. Have you seen it, Jack, or no?
I have not, no.
It's really well done.
There was like a show from America, I think, that came out around that time that was Happy Something, and it was like wasn't it like a weed comedy or something?
Oh, maybe.
That's what I had it confused with. Is there, she doesn't like open a,
No, that's weeds. Isn't that weeds?
No, not weeds. it's a like show that was like a prestige comedy in the U.S. and I forget. I think I just got my wires crossed in my brain at some point. And
yeah, no, she's like, it's about this police officer who like the first series starts off with her backstory is like her daughter died and she suspects that this guy who's getting out of prison had something to do with her daughter's death. And then like she gets obsessed with this guy and it opens up. It's just it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Then there's like a kidnapping and there's like small town politics and there's class issues and everybody just hates each other and nobody speaks with a Yorkshire accent, which is lovely.
I was in kitchen working cooker. Running. Yeah. I've got to go hospital now. I'm like, wow, you're going hospital?
Oh,
that's just British in general, right? Don't they say go
they
hospital?
Do.
Yeah. And, but the Yorkshire accent. Yeah.
You're doing love multiple maths.
Shout out maths, too.
Not just one. How are you going to know the difference between doing one math and multiple?
Well, because we're stupid because it's mathematics. It's not like we do mathematic, you know, out here. Right. So look, Jack,
speak for yourself, man.
I only do one kind addition. Fuck that other shit.
And Anna, you have while we're talking shit about memoirs, you have a book coming out that's not a memoir. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Definitely not a memoir. It's essentially a book of essays about unlikable female characters.
Amazing.
So it's pop culture history, it's pop culture criticism, but without, you know, your usual kind of film critic wankiness. I wrote it kind of for people who might be interested in film, but perhaps haven't ever read like a film history book.
Right.
And it basically looks at what makes a female character unlikable. So it's like, you know, the bitch and the slut and the shrew and the crazy woman and all these like really negative connotations and tropes that sometimes are implicit in characters and why we still love watching them and why they make up some of the most memorable and popular female characters ever in movie and TV history. So I kind of look at all or as much as possible of film history and TV history and a little bit of music, like from the 1930s in Hollywood to literally the day I had to give in the final draft of the book. So I was writing right up to the wire of stuff that was airing on TV.
Who's the most current? Who's the most current character that is included in the book? Just to
probably Shiv Roy from Succession.
Wow. Okay.
Hey,
so I wrote it.
Meteor
Ryan.
Lobes.
That's Meteor Lobes.
Well,
Barnacle
sadly,
meat.
I could not include the fourth season because I finished the book way before it started, but way before it was even finished, I think, before they finished shooting it. But all up until the third season, it's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's shows like The Flight Attendant and Debt to Me and Unreal, Fleabag. And then also a lot of older movies like Fatal Attraction or Gone Girl, you know, and like even movies from the 1930s, like I'm No Angel with Mae West, and like stuff from the 90s, like The Last Seduction. Yeah. So it really kind of jumps between stuff that we're seeing now on Netflix and other streamers to stuff that you might not be aware of or don't know about, and all the recognizable ones in between, like from the 90s and the 2000s.
Amazing. Did the revelation that Shiv had thick meaty earlobes like barnacle meat blow your theory out of the water about like why people didn't like the character, do you think?
It literally did. I'm so embarrassed. Now I have to go in and do like a whole new chapter just about the earlobes. You know, it's a whole thing with my publisher. Yeah. It's like, oh,
but that's
fuck,
good.
You have to redo
new edition.
It.
You got the Shiv earlobe edition. That's more money. That's more copies printed.
That book cover is just the earlobe. You're like, it's you just want an that earlobe. Version of the book. Yeah.
Did, so is your... I'm assuming there's like both of this, but is like part of it they're being written unlikable by like male writers, and part of it just like misogynistic culture that is like deeming them unlikable, or kind of a swirl of that?
Kind of a swirl. Part of it is also just trying to understand what unlikable even means. So I'm like, I keep hearing this word. It keeps popping up in think pieces and media, in like production meetings, and you know, in the industry in general.
Oh, and they're like,
and
that character's not really likable, right?
Yeah,
right,
it's like, oh, you just gotta make her more likable, because otherwise why would we watch her? And I'm like, okay, but what does that mean? Do you just, why don't you like her? Like, what is she doing that's so wrong?
Right.
I don't fucking know. I wrote the book and I'm like, there is no reason. It's just our weird projections on women that we're then putting onto fictional characters. But it is a little bit of, you know, just plain old misogyny from us, from all of us, as we watch these films and decide, you know what? She's a bitch. I'm going to hate her, and I'm going to hate the actress that plays her too, because she plays her too well. So it means that she must be a bitch in real life too.
Yeah.
And that combined with, like, you know, the writers and the way that they create those characters to be villains.
Right.
But then one thing that I really love is, and this is how I... you know, why I love these characters, is that even though the films or the shows present them to us as sort of villains or as characters we should hate because of whatever reason, we still love them, right? We still gravitate towards them. We still want to watch them. We still want to spend time with them. And that is the nugget of like really interesting kind of love for these unlikable characters that is at the heart of the book as well.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, because I feel like...
cool.
Everyone's like, I hate Lena Headey's ass. Fucking Cersei Lannister. Get the fuck out. Like, I remember like that. There was a while when I feel like people around me like also had an unreasonable, like they're just like, oh, I get sick when I look at her or whatever. But they're like, but I also love it. I love that shit. And you're like, wow, the duality here is really something.
Well, remember the hatred that, you know, Anna Gunn got on Breaking Bad? Like people would,
I was just going to bring my
God. Her.
I was going to bring that up, and I was like, but that would just end up being the whole episode. It's talking about like how just over the top. That was like a weird thing where the entire nation just like flipped a switch. It was crazy.
I think, that revealed a lot where like they're like, she's getting in the way of his crimes. And you're like, what, fool? That's a dislikable trait. Okay. Well.
Oh, and now she takes the money? Wow, Skylar. Wow.
Yeah, she's the problem.
Let Walt cook.
Her. Yeah.
Literally, let him cook.
Let Walt cook that shit.
Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like an amazing book. Go, instead of continuing this conversation, we will direct listeners to go buy the book and continue with your prose. The book is called Unlikable Female Characters, and it's available for pre-order, it seems like, everywhere. Is that...
It's going to be out everywhere for pre-order on paperback and ebook, and it's out on the 9th of May.
9th of May. Go do it. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the news.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And when Tucker Carlson got fired, a lot of people had questions because the stuff that they seemed to be pointing out about him was evident on the air every single night of his show. It seemed to be the main thesis of his show was that he was a racist misogynist. And so we've just been waiting for like more information to come out. Some information has come out. And then last night or two nights ago, big bomb drop. The New York Times published a story with a very interesting phrase in a text from Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. And also like a piece where, oh, and are you familiar with Tucker Carlson? Our violent ethno-nationalist commentator on Fox News? Okay, good. Because the New York Times, I'm going to just start off by saying it sounds like the New York Times is helping Fox out, and we'll get to why a little bit later. But they open up this this report by saying, quote, a text message sent by Tucker Carlson that set off a panic at the highest levels of Fox on the eve of its billion-dollar defamation trial showed its most popular host sharing his private inflammatory views about violence and race. I'm like, well, there's fucking private views. What are you? Oh, OK, what could those be? Well, let's read the text in question, shall we? This is from Tucker Carlson. What were you going to say?
Just reading the text, like it's why I've never seen somebody who texts exactly as they speak on television. It's so weird.
It's like how Bart Simpson signs a yearbook.
Yeah, he texts in a fucking monologue. It's so crazy.
Have a cool summer. Anyways. Okay, this is the
this is the, that Simpsons joke.
Oh, yeah, he writes in the yearbook. It's like he writes the way he talks. Anyway, right. So this is a text he sent on January 7th, 2021. Okay, the night after January 6th, he tweeted or he texted. Quote, a couple of weeks ago, I was watching video of people fighting on the street in Washington. A group of Trump guys surrounded an Antifa kid and started pounding the living shit out of him. It was 3-1, at least. Jumping a guy like that is dishonorable, obviously. It's not how white men fight.
Whoa.
Put a pin in that one. Yet suddenly I found myself rooting for the mob against that man, hoping they'd hit him harder, kill him. I really wanted them to hurt the kid. I could taste it. Then something deep in my brain, an alarm went off. This isn't good for me. I'm becoming something I don't want to be. The Antifa creep is a human being. Much as I despise what he says and does, much as I'm sure I'd hate him personally if I knew him, I shouldn't gloat over his suffering. I should be bothered by it. I should remember that somewhere somebody probably loves this kid and would be crushed if he was killed. If I don't care about those things, if I reduce people to their politics, how am I better than he is?
And then like somebody presumably like thumbs up that or something. Like who texts like that?
Did the emphasis, the three exclamation points, like that part?
That part right there.
I'm sorry, Tucker. How do white men fight? Like, what are you saying here? Are we talking about, like, old school pugilism? Like, hey, put your dukes up and, like, you're doing this shit and just, like, fucking, you're doing that kind of thing? Or you mean the other way white men fight, like, giving diseased blankets to indigenous people or, like, indiscriminately dropping bombs on defenseless, you know, groups of civilians? Which way are you talking about, Tucker Carlson?
So this is, like you said, this is unsurprising. Like, quantitatively is what he said on his show every night, but that like the texture of that phrase is like so reminiscent of like Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Django Unchained, like so
right.
Thoroughly like antebellum South, like it just feels like for whatever reason that sentence was like, oh, there is a basement below the basement where every like the just open and depraved white supremacy that like I kind of suspected was always going on with these people is actually happening. Like right. The fact that he just casually put through that out there, there's just like something there that's like a little brief window into how he actually talks and thinks.
Right. Like to another white supremacist, like, yeah, yes. Man, that's true. It's not how white men fight. It's dishonorable. Yes. It's like how I would be like talking to a Laker fan. I'm like, that's not how we play basketball.
Right.
And the LA Lakers are like, you fucking right. But this is like about the, I guess, the purity of white pugilism, I guess. Yes. But the logic here, I'm like, so apparently this text was beyond the pale for the execs at Fox. And they figured that with the Dominion trial about to happen, that this was just going to make things worse because they didn't want this to come out a lot, like during his testimony, et cetera. That's what they're saying. But they knew about these texts because it was part of the discovery process, like when, you know, you're fucking in the middle of a lawsuit. So they presumably knew about this already. And also, he has a show where he constantly talks about the virtues of Western European whiteness and shit all the fucking time. Yeah. So it just feels like they're like the New York Times kind of helping Fox do damage control over the Dominion lawsuit, while also making the board seem like soul-having humans
right.
who are like, you know what? We're actually not with white grievance politics here at Fox News.
Oh, interesting.
And that's what that's just like sort of confounding. Or is it a way to spin like the largest defamation settlement ever by it being like, it wasn't because of all the election lies we settled. It was because Tucker's racism would have been a blight on our network if it came out in such a public way in a trial. I'm still struggling to find like how they want us to believe what is like what the reasoning is here, because it sounds like a reason, but I'm not like I'm just like is that really what it is? Are you patting yourselves on the back for being like, and that was just a bridge too far for us at Fox?
Yeah, there's also the story where I think we covered it on this show, like one of the trending episodes, that Rupert Murdoch was like engaged to be married again to this like, I forget, like she was like a real estate person, or she was like my
like
ex-husband was, evangelist. Yeah. And then that got called off. And there are rumors behind the scenes that she like believed Tucker Carlson was like the second coming of Christ. Like that he had been over to their house, had dinner with like Rupert Murdoch, his fiance. And the next morning, the engagement was called off. And then like a week later, Tucker Carlson was fired.
You're laughing too hard at his jokes, dear.
Yeah, I could see there being some weird personal grievance shit. Like, I'm guessing it's like there are so many good reasons that he was fired, but also like the real reason is probably something stupid and
petty. Are we feeling like it's Succession-esque? Because the PR spin on it feels like a group full of people who have lost their tether to reality. You're like, yeah, man, tell that to the public. They'll believe that.
Yeah,
that the racism was too much. And I'm like, oh, okay. Was this written by Kendall Roy? Like, it has that energy in it.
I'd be worried that my view of reality is being too heavily influenced by Succession, except for the fact that Rupert Murdoch apparently is worried that his life is affecting Succession too much because he filed lawsuits being like, you can't use details from my life in the writing of Succession. So it seems like there's some bleed there.
Right. Yeah, well. Hey, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel, Anna, like looking upon this media mess that we have over here?
Well, as I told you guys before we hit record, I love mess.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm enjoying all of it.
What do you think makes more sense? That it was that they're like, this is like spin to try and humanize the board for being like, and you see, they actually cut ties with him. Or is this like some, like, you know, Connor Roy, like this is like Roy family, Roy Star Waco kind of shit?
Honestly, I think it makes us look better that we just do not understand the moves that are being made. I think if it made sense to us, it would mean that we're in the same wavelength as these people. And that is a questionable place to be morally, ethically, in every single human possible way.
Yeah. So it's to Tucker Carlson to look for answers about why he got fired. I'm just like glad he got fired.
That's probably
a good life philosophy that I would have if I was a more mentally healthy, less spiteful person.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, there's that. I mean, I also can make, I really do like the idea that Rupert Murdoch was just so incensed at his fiance, like giving him attention, that he just did like a, like Roman firing Joy, the studio exact kind of thing. Where it's like, oh yeah, or you could be fired, motherfucker. I don't know. How about that?
But also, you know that he broke up with every single one of his wives via email.
Wow.
Best way to do it. If you ask me.
Just send a 30-day notice saying, I'm sorry, we have to part ways. I'm afraid this is not working out for either of us right now.
Yeah.
Well, and also, you always end it on a good note because it ends with best, Jack. So they know that I have the best intentions.
And also, yeah, click my link tree underneath to kind of see what else I'm up. If you're into it, I know things kind of went south. That's why I always have been broken up with at Chipotle. Every time, for some reason.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Beggars can't be choosers, man.
They this can't. They Chipotle. Can't. I know. Okay.
McDonald's. Hey, I'll tell you what we're not loving is McDonald's child labor law violations. The Department of Labor has stepped in and McDonald's is in a bit of trouble for employing two 10-year-old children who worked as late as 2 a.m., one of which operated the deep fryer, which is a prohibited task for workers under 16 years old. So McDonald's is like franchised. So they just like give people the ability to run McDonald's with apparently absolutely zero oversight, because these people claimed that the kids were merely visiting a parent who works as a night manager. And the Department of Labor is like, you've employed 24 minors under the age of 16 to work more than legally permitted hours. So get the fuck out of here with this bring your daughter to work shit. Like, this is
pattern. I'm like, God, they're all my children.
Thank you.
That's how I look at them. And they wanted to come to, you know, work with me. That's all. It's a very... man, it's just such a dark time, too, because there's so many Republicans, too, like trying to legislate this kind of stuff. They're like, yeah, man, kids should be able to fucking work.
Yes.
You know, like 14-year-olds, they need to be able to work a lot longer. Like, I know they were in Iowa, like they were really had their eye on a bill like that. I'm not sure if it actually went through. It may have. But there's just so many levels of fucking tragedy to it. Because on one level, you know, these kids, they're not working because they're like, I want to work at McDonald's as a fucking 13-year-old. They're probably in a terrible situation where their only financial recourse is to try and work at McDonald's at such a young age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then there's always somebody who's willing to be like, hey, well, you know, we got a fryer shift late at night. Once you get your homework done, if you want to come by for that. And it's just like, yeah. Whoa, fuck.
Just the worst. I mean, yeah. So Arkansas is scrapping age verification requirements for workers younger than 16 years old. Missouri Republicans are eyeing a similar move. Wisconsin Republican-led legislature introduced a bill that would allow kids as young as 14 to serve alcohol in bars and restaurants, but to seated customers only, which...
Wait, what? Oh, you mean like as opposed to like someone at a bar, like at the bar?
Yeah, you can't like be behind the bar, like shaking up cocktails while like a...
Oh, so you want to be able to have the 14-year-old bring your Mai Tai to your table. Like, okay, I see.
Man, but as a teenage alcoholic, I would have done succession level Machiavellian maneuvering to get a job where I was serving alcohol at the age of like 16, like 5 years away from being able to drink, but I get to serve it responsibly. Oh, yeah. Jesus. But yeah, I don't know. This is just another example of this thing. Like American capitalism as currently constituted is a system that overtly and almost exclusively rewards predation. Like it is just predators preying on people who have less power than them. And we're going to continue to see this level, just like new and lower lows when as right.
The basement beyond the basement.
Yeah. Again, the basement under the basement is what we're seeing here. But I just think that as long as the myth is still there, that like there is some meritocratic value to who becomes rich in this country, like we're kind of fucked because like we need to get people's minds back to a place where, you know, there is an understanding that companies with power will use that power to exploit you unless you have some, you know, collective power to push back with.
And it's funny too, because like to your point and about memoirs, it's like the memoirification of successful wealthy people has also completely fucked up people's concept of like how to become successful. Like, I don't know, that guy lifted himself up by the bootstrap. Why can't I? It's like, no, the game's rigged against you already.
Yeah.
Or even just to live a life before you consider like writing about it or thinking that you have something to teach other people. Like, what are you teaching us exactly? Like, are you just selling the idea of constant hustle? Like, to your guys' point, are you just selling the idea of work yourself to death in this particular way? Because that is what I did and that is what I will continue doing for the rest of my life. Right. And maybe you will be just like me. But that path, whatever that path might be, you know, be it Love Island or anything else, it changes and it's never available for everyone. It's barely available to the people who actually get it and get those deals in the first place.
Yeah. It's barely available to anyone other than the people who already know that it's available to them. And they're not going to tell you that it's available to them.
Listener, here's an exercise you can find out if this path is available to you. Check your pockets right now. Okay, go through your pockets. Are there fucking emeralds in there? Yeah. Do you have any loose emeralds in your pockets? No? Oh, well, you're not like Elon then. So
here's how to know if you have a chance at being a billionaire. Do your parents have a private wealth manager that whose full-time job it is to grow their wealth? No?
Their job is to not fuck up their
money. Yeah. Right. Anyways, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of structural things, and like Congress hasn't passed a law that's disadvantageous to like billionaires and an entire generation. The Supreme Court keeps pushing things in the direction of corporations, but there is, I feel like, also just the media has fully bought into the corporate the idea that what corporations tell us is the truth, and that like that's the way to run a society, is just like that Clintonian idea of like taking in the neoliberal ideas of like free market and running the entire civilization like that. And it's just not working. And I think it has gotten into people's bloodstream where now nobody thinks of selling out as being a thing, whereas that used to be a thing that you would look down on. Now it's like, yeah, get the bag. Which is totally understandable, but it just feels like in this very specific form of late stage hypercapitalism, it's very dangerous that like we don't have the cultural kind of defense mechanism.
So, well, the options are so minimal, right? For like upward mobility that like, like in this country, like we've just been mainlining this kind of fucked up financial propaganda where it's sort of like, hey, man, I know it feels like your back's against the wall, but you might luck out like one of these exalted people. And that's going to keep you alive for a little bit longer while we get a little more labor out of you. Like, and because of that, we're caught in this fucking rat wheel. And like, you know, like, again, that wasn't until the pandemic happened where people weren't like, what the fuck is this? What am I doing? And they were really quick to be like,
from the Matrix,
cut the fucking checks, cut the checks off, cut them off, because people are getting fucking ideas now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a kind of a fucked up situation. But yeah, let us know if you guys are seeing 10-year-olds at your local McDonald's cooking up fucking fries, please. Yeah. And report.
That's the answer. Just tip those 10-year-olds. Tip them better.
That's going to be a piece in the Atlantic soon.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal is going to be like, what we need to do is actually advocate for child tips.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
What heartwarming story of this child coming home from work at McDonald's at 4 a.m. and a wealthy person was driving by and decided to buy them a new pair of shoes because theirs had holes in them. Heartwarming story.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk baby names.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and social media has completely fucked up how we name babies, it seems.
I think so. I've been on TikTok for the last year or so, just mouth agape, watching it for hours at a time, and I've come across all kinds of content. And ever since the algorithm figured out I'm a parent now, I get weird parenting content. I'm seeing weird hacks about, like, how to know how your baby's asleep. you look at how clenched their fist is. If their fist is clenched, they are not sleeping or whatever. Or no, it's how full their stomach is. That's how you can tell how much to feed your baby. And people are like, that has nothing to do with anything. That's how they sleep.
Hey, like, doctor here, that's not true.
shut up, doctor. This is TikTok, you fucking hater. But anyway.
Doctors have to spend half of their workday just debunking shit they see on TikTok.
Right. And like, I see all kinds of stuff like that. And then I started seeing like stuff about like aesthetic names for babies. Like, oh, you want an aesthetic name for a baby? And it seems that like baby naming content is becoming more and more popular. And there's now like there are influencers around baby naming, like people who like, yo, they fucking come with the sickest names in the game right now. Let me play like I'm going to play a clip for you of like one of these things of like just how these videos are of, like these are aesthetic baby names. So you can like vibe out your child's energy. Okay, why is it playing terrible music? Okay, let's mute the music because we're not going to get a strike. It's like, so these are aesthetic names. Rowan comes up.
Rowan. Yeah.
Wren with a W.
Wren with like a W.
Bird. Yeah. Atlas.
Atlas?
Yeah.
These
Alaska.
People misunderstand the word aesthetic. Like, these are just names.
But it's a vibe, okay? That's posy.
Posy.
Okay. That's such a vibe. Okay, so like,
there are
like all these
there
kinds
are only
of things.
Six aesthetic baby names, and they
that's
all
just
suck.
One video. That's for if you're fucking with that account, which is official baby names 111. But like these influencers, like people come to them because they want to know about like what's the most unique thing. Like I come to these accounts to find out like how much of a niche unique name can I get? And like people, because people don't want bum ass names like Emily or Jessica or Matt. Or even Miles, it seems, where they're like, Miles has actually played the fuck out. And I was like, what the fuck? Fuck you. I don't give a fuck. Well, anyway, so people want that new-new.
Is it not aesthetic, though? Does being played out mean it's not aesthetic?
It's not. Well, aesthetic is one version. Another ones are just people who are like, we just are looking for really unique names. So they will go to these influencers. And here's like one package that one of these name influencers offers. A video consultation with 16 baby name options for $99. An 8 name package with extensive name analysis for $175 and a 16 name package with name analysis for $250. I don't know what that means. It sounds like somebody just putting together 16 names on a list and sending them to you and being like, this is where they rank or whatever. And I mentioned the name Jessica, shout out to two of my exes, but because that's the name of one of the women that runs an account. And in an interview with Vox, like, it's clear she hates that her name is Jessica, like every other girl born in the 80s and early 90s. This in this article says, quote, I always say to my mom, you carried me for 9 months and you come up with Jessica after all that?
After all we've been through.
I mean, can I throw in a suggestion for these people?
Uh-huh.
Change your name. If you don't like it, change your fucking name.
Yeah, you got the freedom to
do
that.
Why is this a hustle? Why is this? How are you charging people for essentially Googling something for them?
I know. Yes. So here's the thing. Like, apparently, this is like it's like this woman talks about how she has rules when she's thinking up a baby name. And apparently, and this isn't new. I've interacted with people, friends who are kind of like really into this kind of stuff. But her rules are, quote, it cannot be in the top 200 most popular baby names. She can't know anyone with the name. It has to be pronounceable by her family members with Boston accents, meaning Paca and Atha. Are out.
Atha.
Atha. Also, you kind of sound like Charmaine Bucco in Sopranos. Adi, Adi. Anyway, and it has to be professional sounding. And she says, people get really angry when I said that. Well, that seems a little coded, but
yes.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe that's why. Hmm. And these influencers put out videos that are like, they have these other, there's other videos where like, hey, these are some really popular names. I just want to warn people. They're becoming really popular and they're trending and I'm, and, you know, if this is one of your kids' names, I'm really sorry that I'm having to tell you this. Like, that's the tone of the video. And it'll be like, okay, so if your name is, if your baby's name is Silas or Finn or Maeve, these are names that are becoming really popular. And, like, I'm sorry. And, like, in the comments, people are freaking the fuck out. Like, they're being accused of child endangerment because they're like, my name, my baby name's trending? Like, yes. it's a whole thing. But yeah, I think the fact is, like, as like they point out in Vox, like, once families became smaller in the 1960s and people weren't just, like, spitting out kids to, like, work the land, people began to put more like emphasis on names that weren't just like direct tributes to elder family members just to get like a name out. And then that slowly morphed into where we are today, where the internet has made everything a flex or a stunt or a competition. And naming a kid is like more akin to now a product fucking launch than welcoming a new member into your family. And I get it. Some people think about for years. Like, I have friends that have known what they were naming their kids since they were in elementary school. Okay. Yeah. But the effect that social media has on us can't be understated. Like, it really, there's a whole thing now where people are, because everything is available and people think about handles and branding now, it's really wild. Isabel Munson in Real Life Mag wrote this. I think it's really interesting. Just talking about the idea of what social media has done to us and like how we're commodifying our existences. Quote, just as capitalism engenders the belief that our value is determined by our productivity, social, as a business category, influences our concept of the self, encouraging us to see self-categorization on platforms not only as self-realization, but as a source of capital. Our value then is based on effective self-branding. And we're misspelling names like Kentucky and saying it's like, oh, that's Katiki, my new daughter's name. It's wild out there. It's wild out there.
I do find baby names like inherently fascinating, like trends in baby names, because it's like such a meaningful decision and it like changes so drastically these days for no good reason. Like one of the things that like made me believe in a collective unconscious was that like I had this name for 15 years. I was going to name my son if I ever had one. And then like a month before we're having our first son, I look it up to see like what the most popular names are. And it's like it's become number one in the past like 5 years. Like the name that like for no reason, like Liam was the name for no fucking reason, like right. at all. It's just all of a sudden that is what everybody is naming their children all at the same time. So I think like those trends. So we went with Neeson instead. We pivoted to Neeson because, we had to honor the man some way.
Right.
But I don't know. It is very interesting. And it's a like decision that I feel like people take very seriously. But I don't know. You also can't fuck it up too bad.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, like if you're a kid, like I've said this on the show before. I wished my name was DJ in the 90s. Okay. Exactly. I don't want to be Miles. You know what I mean? And then I grew out of that shit. I'm like, nah, man, fuck that. I like my fucking name. And like, but there is like, you know, even with naming my own son, it's just like you have names, but it never got to a point where it's like, well, who the fuck else has this name? It's more like what feels like it embodies the union of our families and whatever other things, like, cause we're trying to honor, like, you know, with first initials, because some people use that kind of naming convention and arrive at a name. And it wasn't as like fraught as like being like, get the fucking book, make sure it's on the top 200 or we've fucked up his entire life.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
For like, me, it was. Gonna be fucked up. I had one name in particular that I was like, I don't want the name to be like what Ryan was when I was a kid, where like there were five Ryans in like all of my classes. Like for
the year you were born, like, Jack, Ryan was the 11th most popular name.
Yeah. Well, could have fooled me. It seemed like number one.
That's in California. That's just in California. Yeah.
It was in Ohio and West Virginia and New York. It was pretty fucking popular, it would seem. Kentucky, a lot of Ryans. But I don't know. So that's why I didn't mind if the name was like somewhat popular. I just didn't want it to be like the number one. Which Liam seems to be.
I was really into the name Loic, the Loic. French name. Yeah, because I like the fucking weird, like this, like how it looked with the interesting letters and like umlauts and shit. I was like, oh, that shit look cool. Like if you're tagging that, like this was where my mind was at. I was like, this would look dope if you're tagging this name, because I was a tagger and I don't know if that had value to me. And then like, and it was also because there was like a soccer play. I heard in a game, like a soccer game. I was like, oh, that's a cool name. But they were saying like Loic. And I was like, oh, okay, I can fuck with that. And then after a while, I was like, that's like when it comes to naming my own kid, I was like, this doesn't really match at all. So I'm happy with his name. We're happy with his name. Method Man. Great.
Yeah.
It's a dope name. Yeah.
I love it. It sounds fascinating listening to you guys speak. I mean, I don't have kids, so I have not had to go through that ordeal of finding a name.
Contemporaries that have, and you've witnessed something like this?
Yeah, but I've never witnessed people get so obsessed or down this rabbit hole, or even like conceiving of paying people to come up with a baby name.
Yeah.
But I do remember, like, I think everyone goes through this. I used to hate my name growing up, so I would constantly try to change it. So I'd introduce myself with different names that I thought were cool for one reason or another to people, like in a club or when I met new people. I'd be like, hi, my name's Agnes. And I don't know why, but people like would be like, Varda? No, it's not.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I was really into like French new wave cinema. It's like, Karina.
You got the Varda do right now. You know, if I'm not gonna lie, you know what I mean? Give me Agnes Varda right now.
Oh, thank you. Although I actually met her. She was lovely and super tiny and one of the nicest filmmakers I've ever met. But like, there was this weird thing where your name becomes, it's a match of a personality, even with a baby or like an energy, because people clocked me immediately. They were like, no, you're not. Such a name.
No.
Why are you lying?
Really?
Yeah, they just did not believe me. I was like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Agnes. I don't know. I was trying out names.
Saying Agnes, but you are serving Anna. I'm sorry. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
You got big Anna energy. Exactly, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It's funny. When I would get in trouble with old white people who didn't know me, I would always tell them my name was Orlando. That was my fake name. They're like, what's your name? Who are your parents? I go, I'm Orlando. And they're like, well, get out of here, Orlando. I'm like, yeah, fuck you. And I was only talking about because of Orlando El Duque, the pitcher for the Yankees, is what I was saying. I'm calling myself Orlando.
I thought you were just trying to subliminally remind them of Disney World, their favorite place on earth.
Your favorite place in Florida, whites. Orlando.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't the Virginia Woolf novel? It wasn't that what you were referencing?
No, unfortunately not. I was not
El Duque, the club.
Yeah. El Duque, the Yankees pitcher is where I got that name. But it is awesome. Like a thing, too, where you look at how people, like, in America, especially like on Instagram, the way people hard launch a baby, there's like fucking all this shit. Like they got banners made, fucking merch. Like people are really conscious of like how shit is going to look on like that announcement post.
Yeah.
And they just kind of see how it's just kind of like trickling in where people can't even like trust their own sense of like what they feel to name their own child, that it's now being like, well, I don't trust myself to know what I should name my child. I'm going to surrender it to the algorithm.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like, yo, come on now. Relax a little bit. Shout out Method Man. I love you.
Shout out Method Man. Young Method Man. Moving on.
Method baby right now. We're going to get there. Yeah.
That is a terrifying feeling. Like when we thought we were having a girl with our second, we just were like, we vibed it out. We were like, this is a girl. We have our girl name. We're good. And it was a boy. And we were like, 48 hours, we were like, what do we do here? Oh, no. We just I don't even remember how we came up with a name. It's
wow. Wild. Oh, yeah. So you really got caught like not doing your homework for the test.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, I also didn't want to. Like, I didn't want to like decide based on a fucking blog or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to decide based on what like one of my friends randomly texted back to me when the one person who responded to me at like 3 a.m. when I was like, look, man, I'm in a bad way. Like, what do you think of this one? They're like, yeah, it sounds good. I was like, all right.
Thanks, sweet. Man. Appreciate it.
Also my sister, great guide. All right, Anna.
Yes.
It's been such a pleasure having you on the show.
It's been wonderful, guys. Thank you so much.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
So you can find me online on Twitter and Instagram at Anna B. Demented. You can pre-order the book anywhere you can buy books. And you can listen to me talk about horror movies over on the Final Girls podcast.
It's a classic. Yeah.
And are you talking, you're doing like Succession wrap-ups too, aren't you? A little recap.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm also doing the Successionistas with my friend Mike, which recaps the current season of Succession. Yeah, that comes out every Tuesday morning.
Got it. Yeah. How you liking the season?
I'm mixed on it, mate. Mm. I'm like, some episodes, all-timer, absolute banger, just stone cold perfect hour of television. And others, I'm like, I'm very confused. How is this up and down kind of roller coaster? But I almost like, I want to reserve judgment until to see the whole thing, because the whole thing always like, it needs to fit together. And then you get why certain episodes didn't quite work in isolation.
Right,
so
right,
I'm
right.
like, I'm in with it until the end. Like season two of Succession is probably a perfect season of television. And I love it. I'll watch every episode like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Is that the season where Greg takes the stand?
Greg takes the stand. It's a great moment of television.
Is that season? Is that season two?
Yeah, it's with the cruises. The cruises. Yeah.
Waystar
thing.
Cruises, right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's when they go to, it's with the iconic line of where Tom sent Greg 67 emails saying you need to break some Gregs to make a tomlet, or you can't make a tomlet without breaking some Gregs.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Oh, man. If it is to be said, so it be. So it is.
I prefer episode that Greg to Disgusting Brothers Greg.
Disgusting Brothers Greg, he's losing points, man. I'm not.
But he's like trying. He's trying something on. He's
right.
And it doesn't fit him, though.
Oh, yeah,
he's like,
for
stop
sure.
Stop being a gross dude. Which I think it's not your natural vibe.
Yeah. Well, if it is to be said. So it is.
I thought episode 3 and 4 of this season were some of the best ever, but other than that, it's been kind of up.
Without spoiling
the big
anything,
one,
the family event one, there were some times I was like, well, y'all are also like, it was well directed, well performed. I was like, okay, y'all are making me feel some shit too. When I thought y'all didn't feel shit, which was, I think, why the episode hit so hard.
Yeah.
Dramaturgically, it made sense. To quote Jeremy Strong, that's what he said in the making of documentary that immediately followed it. That is the only making of documentary that I like watch every time I watched the episode. I was like, okay, we're going to do this again.
I love that his clothes this season are based on Elon Musk's looks.
Are they?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was reading something that there was like a huge thing. They're like, yeah, we're taking a lot of inspiration from Elon Musk for Kendall's outfit.
Also, I don't know if they're going to do the same thing. I'm sure they will in the States, but there's going to be a London screening of the finale. And by the time it airs here, it's like 2 a.m. So there's a cinema in London that will have a live stream of the show at 2 a.m. screening in like a public cinema. And I swear to God, if I don't get a fucking ticket for that event, I'm going to burn her cinema down.
All right. Y'all heard it.
Allegedly.
Get the tickets.
Yeah. Allegedly, if it burns down.
If it's said, so it be.
So it is.
So it is. Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying, Anna?
Oh, God. Well, I've honestly been thinking about this tweet for about a week. It's not the slutty little knees one. It's another one. Hold on a second. Let me pull it up. So I saw this tweet a week or so ago by this woman who was like, novels are so great. They're just like, I made up a little weirdo. Oh no, now he's in trouble. And I'm working on a piece of fiction now. I'm like, oh shit, that's all it is. Just have to make up this little stick figurine and put it in some trouble.
Oh no.
That's all it is. Break
made
it down.
Up a little weirdo and he's in trouble. That's great. Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, find me on Twitter and Instagram, another @based places @milesofgray. Also check Jack and I out on the latest episode of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Whoa, the NBA postseason. This is delicious right now.
Delish.
Shout out Joel Embiid for securing that MVP.
Embiid P.
Find me and Sophia Alexandra on our 90 Day Fiancé podcast for 20 Day Fiancé, where we smoke more weed than Willie Nelson ever did in his lifetime and talk about, immigration-based reality romance shows. Now, some tweets I like, because the writer's strike is on and fucking popping right now, I just want to shout out some of the people who have been picketing and also some of their posting some of their signs, which is great because there's nothing wittier than writers who have a blank slate for their picket signs. At Johnny Sun tweeted, I'll just show you some of these. He said, "Writer," it's like they have the normal strike or picket sign that says "Writers on Strike," and he wrote, "Sure, I support AI, all of our terms being met, in a fair and timely manner," because that's a huge point of contention right now in negotiations where they're like, I don't know about fucking AI. You guys worried? And then at Katie Delaney tweeted, her sign, which was a picture of Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave. And it says, "You don't want to negotiate a deal with the WGA? You sure about that? You sure about that?
That's not anyway, what you want."
So I love any references to that show. But anyway, yeah.
That's coming back soon, right?
End of May. Yeah, end of the month.
All right. Tweet, I've been enjoying Colin Crawford. Finally, an entire board of Smorgas. Which, I think it's Borg of Smorgas, but I got the meaning and I liked it. And that is the text that I randomly scrolled to, or the tweet I randomly scrolled to. So that's my favorite for today. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what's the song that you think people might enjoy?
So in the past, I remember gone out on a song by the group 79.5. The track then was this track called Sisters Unarmed, and it's dope. Like, they're very, like, they're multi-genre type artists. Like, it's like part disco, part funky jazz, part, like, it's also like kind of ESG. They have just many vibes, but they have a new track out, and it's actually, so I was listening to KCRW, the local radio station, and they were talking about this song that just came out, and they're like, and the reference is actually a Sopranos reference to, like, the new track name is called Long Term Parking, which is an episode, a very, very seminal episode of The Sopranos where something happens. But the person on the air just fucking goes in and just says what happened in the episode. And I don't know why I felt so incensed. I'm like, don't spoil that for people who didn't see that 19 years ago. The fuck is wrong with you? But anyway, this track is called Long Term Parking, and it's by none other than 79.5. So check it out. It's a really dope track.
All right. Well, we'll link off to that in the footnotes. Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.